Richard C. Wilson, founder of Family Office Club, and this is video number four in our due diligence mini-series. This is meant for private investors, investment managers, CEOs of companies that are making investments or acquiring real estate assets, et cetera. And I hope that this mini-series saves you hundreds of thousands of dollars in saved time and deals avoided and great deals done. So in this episode of the series, we're going to talk about what a master due diligence questionnaire is, how they came about, how you could use one to your advantage. We're also going to talk about a checklist or brainstorming list of 100 different areas that you could look into for due diligence if you think that maybe you've just done the basics and you don't even know what else to ask. That happens all the time. If you're watching this because you're actually somebody raising capital, just know that when an investor runs out of things to ask and they say, well, what else should I be asking? And you just have a simple answer, well, most people just ask about this and then that's it. It's only going to add that much more comfort. If your answer includes, here is documentation on the 25 questions we get most often with clear, concise, thorough answers on each of them, they're going to feel much more comfortable, right? You're going to appear much more institutional quality, like this is not your first rodeo, and you should always be ready for an investor that's a half turn or a full turn more sophisticated than the investor you typically work with. So let's get back to what a due diligence questionnaire is. In the institutional world, anybody managing hundreds of millions of dollars wants to raise 10 to 30 million or 50 or 100 million dollar checks at a time from sovereign wealth funds, endowment funds, pension funds, insurance investment plans, etc. Even large family offices with billions of dollars are pretty much considered and treated like an institutional investor, and they act like one oftentimes. And so in that world, you're only dealing with people that have a relatively in-depth team, an in-depth track record, numbers on everything going on, usually audited returns, etc. And so the norm is that if you want to work with an institutional investment consultant to get access to those institutional investors, or you go directly to a lot of wealth management platforms, banks, or institutions directly, they're going to ask you to complete what's called a due diligence questionnaire. And this would be a series of usually 35 to 70 questions. If you have to fill this out for the first time, it can take you literally two business days or a full business day. I've done this many times. What I realized over time, if you're the one filling this out, looking for that capital, is that most of the questions are the same. One person's 50 questions. There's maybe five different questions and somebody else's 35 or 65 questions. So any new question you answer, you just put onto your master due diligence questionnaire template. And then when you go to a new investor, you can say, well, I've got a very thorough one put together. It answers every single question that you asked, plus seven more. Do you mind if I just send you that? And it'll save us time and be even more thorough. And 95% of the time, they're going to say, sure. Sometimes they can't, so it needs to chart into their database in a nice, clean way. So the takeaway here for any private investor listening is that at the very base level, what we talked about earlier on having your seven questions being asked via email to save you a lot of time, that's really the purpose of a due diligence questionnaire as well. But it's really relevant if you're investing $300,000, $500,000, $1 million at a time. We have a client that we've helped put multiple seven-figure checks to work for. They're making $5 million a year. They're worth $150 million. We have another deal, another client that's worth $800 million. We've done six deals with them. They often are writing million-dollar checks, but sometimes do little $100,000, $250,000 deals to get started with somebody. With clients like that, they will want to use a due diligence questionnaire. You might not want to ask somebody 70 questions. They might not want to take the time to answer your 70 questions. You have to consider that. But maybe asking 15, 25 questions, something that's reasonable for the amount of money that you are looking to potentially invest, that goes beyond just five or seven questions you'd ask via an email, could be really important. If you run a wealth management practice, if you run an investor club, if you run a investment platform with 100 million plus in assets or hundreds of millions, you might want to use this for vetting things that you're looking to invest in. So just something important to know. If you're an investor, it could be helpful to you. If you're raising capital, you should have one of these prepared for when you go to investors, because even if they don't ask for one, it's going to make you look and seem and be more buttoned up and clear to understand and more institutional quality. The second tool that we're also happy to provide you with, so if you want access to a due diligence questionnaire template as an investor, if you want access to the second tool, which is 100 due diligence ideas, 100 areas to potentially look at for due diligence, There's literally 500 or 1,000 areas you could look at. But if you're running out of things to ask about and you're on a phone call, you can bring up this Excel spreadsheet, look at all the ideas, and come up with a few more good questions along the way. Some would be, can I go do a site visit at multiple assets and can I choose them randomly so they're not cherry picking those? Do you have a video walkthrough of your manufacturing floor? Can you send me samples of your product? You want to look up your own references for people. Nobody's ever going to give you a reference that's a bad reference, right? So you want to find your own references. You could look at competitors, ask what they think about the competition. Do they respect them at all? You could look on LinkedIn for people that used to work for the company and no longer work there. Do they have a lot of respect for that company? How was it working there? How were they treated? How were customers treated? One question that could save you millions of dollars during your investment experience and career, and one thing that most investors don't ask during due diligence is there any collateral that backs up my investment? And that simple question can be the game changer in getting a deal done or not. If you're raising capital and you have collateral, it makes the deal go faster. If you're an investor, it makes you sleep better at night. You have to document it correctly and make sure you actually have recourse if somebody claims there's collateral in place. Sometimes investors move too fast. Someone says, yes, there is collateral, and then they never document that, and then it really doesn't protect them. And so many times somebody might be saying, yeah, I need to raise $300,000. I'm sure things are not going to go wrong. And then you notice that your manufacturing company or their stem cell therapy center is in a building, and you say, well, do you own the building that you're in? They say, yeah, but I have $400,000 of debt on it, but it's appraised at 1.3 million. You say, okay, well, can I be in second position on that? Or can I be in first position on your medical equipment insurance receivables that could roll in even if you closed after the closing date of you going out of business, but also the real estate collateral? They may say yes. And if you didn't ask, it might never have been offered. So always ask about collateral. Look for things that just stand out as being a little bit off and ask questions about that. Sometimes you'll see on somebody's team page, they'll claim to have 20 team members, but they only show the founder. Or they don't show the team at all. That's a huge red flag to me. Many times they'll show team members with non-uniform pictures, and it might just be because they're remote or virtual and they don't care about looking really polished and buttoned up on their About Us page, perhaps. But sometimes I poke at that and find out that these aren't really employees. These are quote unquote board members. And these board members just talk to them 1 hour a quarter and don't do anything else. And they're really just part-time contractor consultants. They're not really part of their team. They don't have a 10-person team. They're faking to have a 10-person team, so you'll give them money and maybe build a 10-person team. If the person approaching you has an AOL Gmail Yahoo email address and they haven't spent $8 to get a professional domain name or a website, maybe it's because they're early stage. Maybe they're not technologically savvy, not marketing savvy at all, and that's why they need your help as a strategic investor. But that's something to look out for. Our next video in this mini series is going to talk about that exact issue of identifying the best opportunities that on the surface level may not look good at all, but they might be the best investment opportunities of your life. Also look around for any pending lawsuits, current lawsuits, past regulatory fines, lawsuits, claims against the company. But anyways, if you want access to both these tools, the due diligence questionnaire, the 100 ideas for due diligence, shoot me a text message or a WhatsApp message. Or email me. It's just richard@investorclub.com. And via text message and WhatsApp, it's 305-333-1155. And I'll see you on the next video in our series.